There is a book that has been in the bookstores. It hasn't been selling well, but I'm not making this up. The book is called How to Make Yourself Miserable. It gives you real keys on how to have a miserable life. It is a four-step process. Number one, choose a concern that you now have or one that you might have in the future. Two, predict the future and imagine the worst possible outcome that could possibly ever happen. Three, bring your emotions into it fully. Imagine as if it has already happened. And four, take absolutely no action whatsoever except to worry and make yourself sick. How many of us have done this in a small way? Which is the exact opposite of prayer. Believe that you've already received it. The worst possible fear and worry. Give yourself just blinding anxiety and depression and live in that hell. Oh boy, I've done it, and I don't recommend it for anyone.
Don't watch the news.
Do you hear him? He said, yeah, it's called watch the news. Imagine that clock up there on the wall. That clock is the famous psychological clock. And it's beginning to think and complain as it ticks away and feels sorry for itself. It thinks, gee, I am so tired. My arms are so tired. I have to tick 60 times this minute. And do I get any relief? Do I get a coffee break? Do I get one of the good cookies like you've got? No. They leave me hanging on the wall, and I have to tick 60 times every second and 60 times that every hour. And then, later on, Ron and Lenore will leave from here. They'll turn out the lights. Do they remember me? Do they take me down from the wall? Do they give me a nice ride in the front seat with the seatbelt around me? No. I am neglected. Nobody cares about me. Everybody takes from me. And the clock begins to fret so much that pretty soon it has a psychological breakdown and the hands just go down. There is a prayer request that I received one time that was 21 pages in length telling me about what was wrong. That's the record. 21 pages where it was in detail, where things just one disaster after the next disaster. And the person was making themselves miserable. Friends, there are two ways to pray, and I want you to get this. In unity, we always, 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 always pray from the solution, not from the problem. Now that is a major shift for most people, especially the world's Christianity population. We pray from the God box. Now this is just like I'm teaching Silent Unity, okay? This is the God box. This is the want box. This is the box of the solution. I am immersing myself in the solution. I'm believing that I have it right now. It is the box of purified prayer energy that I'm having flow through me. This box over here seems close, and maybe it is, but this is a whole different kingdom. A different realm. It is not the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of the problem. It is the problem box. It is the don't want box, where I focus more on what I don't want. In this box, I am living half my life in camp complaining. where I'm in my woes. And I'm in my woe boat and I'm woeing around. In this kingdom, I'm living in a place called Samesville, where I believe everything, no matter how bad it is, will always be the same. I'm also living in time in a place called Panicville. And I'm living my life awfuling. Awfuling. Where everything is awful and I'm practicing the presence of awful in my daily life. Now let's make this more powerful. This is the box of absolutely no power at all, except my human woes. And what I am dwelling on in this box tends to come onto my life more. If I dwell and live here too long, boy, I am saturating myself in a negativity that will affect my energy, my mind balance, my ability to cope with my daily life. If I'm over here, I'm in no power. If I move over here, I'm in full power with God. For this is the kingdom of God. Over here is health, where I'm believing that I have full health right now. Over here, I am believing in illness. And I am believing and putting on and wearing the literal presence of being sick, getting sicker. Over here, I'm living in the kingdom of lack, where I'm looking to appearance. I don't believe things will ever get better. I don't believe that I have the wisdom or the smarts to make things better. I believe that I am a victim of circumstance. Over here, I am living in the kingdom of abundance. Over here, I am in absolute loneliness. And I'll tell you, my friends, that is the number one sickness in America, is loneliness. You can be in a crowd of people and be lonely. And there are people that are so close to you that are so lonely. Over here is the confidence to reach out in friendship. Over here, it is only doubt. Over here, it is more than just a hope. It is a knowing. Over here, fear. Over here, confidence. Over here, anxiety. Over here, peace. Over here, guilt. Boy, a lot of people suffer from that. They live in yesterday. We've all done stuff, folks. We're human. This is classroom 101. The whole thing is to not stay there, to become better. Over here is feeling all right about you. Over here is clueless. Over here is knowing that God will guide you. You have to become the prayer. You become the prayer. You do it one of two ways. If you're over here praying, dwelling on your problem, 21 pages of your problem, you have become your prayer in the worst possible way. Over there, praying from the kingdom of God, you are literally going to headquarters. Where are you trying to reach God? Are you trying to bring God to your low level, or you rise to God? You can do both. The subconscious mind in you is pivotal. It can go either way. And I ask you to go the way of the kingdom of God. Hell in life is your inability to surrender. To realize that, you know, and I see many people this way, where they realize, they do, that they're trapped in their negativity, that they're trapped in their beliefs, especially about themselves. And then they get to some point, some circumstance in their life where they'll say, you know, I just don't have it in me to change anymore. Oh my Lord, don't ever get to that point. Because God is so close. God is waiting to come through you to help you to change in the moment. Let me quote from Charles Fillmore. Every human who accomplishes things sees first in his or her mind what they wish to do. They put away all doubt. It makes no difference how small or large the thing that you want to be if you have an unlimited confidence in your ability to do it. You will do it. Nothing can in any way impede or defeat you. Faith is the highest expression of belief or confidence. It is something in you that says this to you. I believe in the possibilities of things that I can't see. I believe in the possibility of divine mind doing in this age, right now, everything that was ever done in any age. When we believe this, he said, and hold to this, putting aside all doubt and whatever suggests failure, the thoughts of faith begin to accumulate substance and fulfillment follows. I'm going to repeat that. The thoughts of faith begin to accumulate substance. There is energy. You are like a spiritual battery. And the more that you dwell on this, the more it builds in you. Also, the more that it takes away limited human mind. The human mind is like an onion. It peels off thin layer by thin layer until eventually you're at the core. And you refill yourself with thoughts of power. And in doing so, you stop any block that might be in there unconsciously, that keeps things from the fourth dimension coming through you into the third. You always remember the recipe to your prayer. Every time you pray for the rest of your life, I ask you to stop, look, and listen. How are you praying? Is there any negativity in your prayer? Charles Fillmore was basically crippled. He had been crippled since early on. Since he was a teenager, he had a withered leg on one side. And he, in his 80s, got the idea, my golly, I am a child of God and I can regrow this leg. And he regrew his leg in his 80s. Before, it was just skin and bone and it filled out fully. Now, I asked someone that knew, when I was the senior minister of Unity Village at the chapel, I asked Ernest Wilson, who was the minister that replaced Charles Fillmore, I said privately to him at lunch, I said, this is the story, what's the truth? He said, it's the absolute truth. The leg never lengthened fully. He always wore a height and shoe, but it was fully filled out. And he did this through a regeneration of his physical body. But here's how. He put on the Christ of a full leg. Before, he would pray in this way, which seems positive, but look at the recipe of the prayer. I'm Charles Fillmore now. Dear God, I'm in front of all these wonderful people. Help me to walk over here without showing any pain. And help me to stand here. I've got to stand here for hours and keep my energy up. I pray that I'm not fatigued. I pray that I keep my balance. I pray that as I walk up this step right here, that I don't show in my face any pain at all. That I stand upright and that I'm fully in balance. That is 98% negative, folks. He put on the Christ of his prayer when he started to pray in the way that I have the full leg of the Christ, that I have the full power right now of the Christ, that I can run across this stage if I choose to run. I can leap, I can bounce, I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm to do the things that ought to be done by me. I'm not alone. God is coming through me, and I'm fully charged in every atom and cell of my body. I am a child of God, and as a child of God, God's not done with me yet. God can manifest in me the full perfection, through me the full perfection, and I can grow as if I was a child. You see, that's 100% positive. You see the difference? Also, when you pray, even when you're alone, there is a listening audience of 1 million listening to you, the cells of the intelligence of your body. They believe anything you tell them. And the more you can accept, the more they can hold. Charles Fillmore said this, in prayer, you're always dealing with consciousness. Many people hope that God will lift them out of their dilemma, but God can do no more for you than God can do through you. You were born with an unborn possibility. Your purpose is to release that possibility through God coming through you. Now, a person might say, well, that's fine, Chris, but I don't have enough faith. Belief is human. Faith is a power of God. Ask for faith and it is given to you. It is given to you and you will have it, and the gifts of God are not temporal. They are permanent. On Monday, I want you to try something. It is called putting God first through time tithing. One of the most powerful things you'll ever do to increase your awareness of God. Set your clock to go off every hour and tithe back 6 minutes of time out of that hour, 10%, to God. If the clock did that, the clock would have new energy and new life. And if you do that, you too will have new energy and life. You will be surprised. What I hear from most folks, which I pray doesn't happen to you, is they get to 11 o'clock at night and they can't go to sleep because they have so much energy. Well, you're tapping in to full power. And you will also have, which happens in many, a euphoria that you can't explain. What the Bible talks about is the peace that passes all understanding. You might still be in your problem. Here is my definition of spirituality. If you follow me, you've heard this before. Spirituality, Jack, is the depth of your bliss in the middle of your problem. Because you know. You just know. It's going to be okay. We must become what we're praying for. It has been said that there is more religion in some men's curses than there is in some men's prayers. Especially if the former is sincere and the latter is just ritual. When we pray, when we talk to God, we have to talk to God like God is our very best friend and talk from the heart. Then we have a connection. You have to pray with vision. Sadly, when people pray over here immersed in their problems, Often they have a greater vision than when they're over here. Oh, brother, do they see their problem. It's not only seeing their problem, it is an IMAX production in 3D. It's coming alive in Technicolor and coming off the screen and touching them and bringing them down. You have to, as Neville said, see from the end. Practice that this week. Try that in some of your time tithing. What do you want in your life? See from the end. If you want a successful business, see from the end. Believe you're already there. Know it. Don't look to the appearance. Look to the vision, the positive vision that you hold of God. Okay, let's kick it up a notch. How many of you have children in here? I have a boy and a girl. And I have been as a minister at the hospital, kids, thousands of times during a birth. You know, even doctors will admit when they've seen thousands of babies born that if they stop and think about it, they're always in awe. It is the greatest miracle known to humankind. You see this little baby cooing, and you say, how can this be? It's just 9 months, and the greatest creation, a miracle has happened. To create this miracle, we need the male and the female. 98% of the species is that way. To create the incredible miracle, the offspring. It is a physical law. Now, everybody listen to me. It is also a spiritual law. You want to pray for something and you want to have something in your life, you have to birth it. And the right way to birth it is to create the feminine and the masculine aspects to the prayer. Now, theologians say this. You're in female form physically. I'm in male form physically, but my soul has both male and feminine aspects as your soul does. Most people, it doesn't depend on our outer covering. We pray beginning from the masculine side, which theologians say is the thinking side in all of us. It's the Dr. Spock side. Of the rational, the logic side. Then there is a part of our soul that is feeling. That comes much later. It comes in and it feels from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. To have a successful prayer, to totally Cindy accept what you're praying for, if you really want to become it, if you want it to come through you, you have to totally birth your prayer. You have to think about it, but then you have to get to the point that you feel it. And you feel it right now, where you are knowing that it's yours. When you pray, believe that you've already received. Not just thinking about it like, gee, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a glass like that? I'd like a glass like that someday. Yep, yep, I would. That's the way most people pray. That's not a powerful prayer at all. That prayer has very, very little power until Chris convinces himself that he has this glass right now, that it's mine. If I want a new car, I'm sitting in that car, I look out over the hood, I smell the leather. If I want to go to Paris, I'm under the Eiffel Tower. I feel as if I'm there. In my mind, I am. As you pray this way, you will be startled at what happens. And again, I'm talking to you now as real friends. It will also scare you. you'll start to manifest this stuff, and I see it all the time. People go, whoa, what am I doing? It's like the Twilight Zone or something. No, you're praying in the right way. And you're having manifestation, and as good as it is, it's as of nothing compared to what is coming. If you do not step on the brake and stop it, it will continue. And wow, when it does, everything in life takes two to produce a third. The disciples sent out two by two. You send your prayers out two by two. There is more meaning to the Trinity than I can get into right now. It's the power of three. Well, in you, it's God, you, and the manifestation, all combined into one. And then, you've got it. It is yours. Not a temporal answer, but a permanent answer. Jesus said, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth, that's right here in this sanctuary, in this hall, if two of you agree about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. The kingdom of heaven. It is that fourth dimension kingdom that is all around you, inside of you, waiting for your free will to totally say yes. Put on that mind that was in Christ Jesus. How do you do it? Through this total and complete convincing you of something. And once you have convinced you in your thinking, in your feeling, you've got it, and it can't be taken from you. In 1 John 3:21, it says, Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from God whatever we ask. If our hearts don't condemn us, this is not the beating heart right here, the heart of our mind, the subconscious. When we change that and infill it with God, it does not condemn us. It does not say, Cindy, 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 Cindy. Who are you trying to kid? My friend up there at break said, well, how much of your prayer do you share with your prayer partner? And I said, it depends on how positive your prayer partner is. And he said, don't you always want a prayer partner that's positive? And I said, yep, if you can get one. But Jesus also said something very, very strange after he prayed with a person. Very strange. He said, what's your name? Paula. He said, Paula, go and tell no one. What a strange thing to say to somebody when you're trying to grow your work. Go and tell no one. He cared more about Paula. He knew that if Paula went home and said, hey, guys, guess what happened to me today? I was healed. And they'd go, Paula, 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 Paula. You're delusional. And pretty soon Paula would go, oh, yeah, I guess so. I shouldn't have thought that way. Sometimes you have to hold it in yourself. Just like you'd put cookies in the oven and not take them out too early, or a seed in the ground and not dig it up right away. It's not what happens to you, but what happens in you that makes the difference. On Tuesday, I want you to make a list of things that you want in your life and really think about it. But you're going to think about it in a new way. The human being thinks about lists, do lists, wish lists, goals, in a very human linear way. The human mind thinks, well, okay, I could have this But if I need to get from here to there, I need to do this. Then I need to do this. Oh, and then I need to go over here and do this. And then I need to do that. And then I need to do this. Go to headquarters, folks. See from the end, but don't go into great detail in human mind on how you get to the end. God may have, probably will have, a better way. Don't be that fly flying into the screen door continuously. And then on Wednesday, with your list, this is where it gets a little tough, folks. I want you to work on feeling it. To totally believe that right now you've got it. Charles Fillmore, when he prayed for 30 hours, he said, this is the key. Because they'd always say to him, Papa Charlie, his affectionate name. He said, how do you know when to stop praying? He said, when I feel that I've already got it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. It's mine. Then he knows he doesn't have to pray anymore. But again, you're not dealing with a stubborn God. You're dealing with a stubborn you. And you work on you until you're convinced. We hear in Christianity about the word repent. I say to repent every time you pray. Here is the original first century Christianity meaning of the word repent. It means, that's the negative prayer chair right there. Turn around from the way you're going and raise up higher. That's the exact meaning of the word repent. And we'll have to do that many times, I'm afraid. We'll get it in one way and then have another thing happen. And we'll revert back. It's like the old lower human mind has a gravitational pull. But prayer is the most effective method of transformation in the human. In prayer, you begin to have a transfusion in your mind of the human to the spiritual until you're totally filled with the spiritual. In prayer, the human associates with God instead of the problem. When you're doing it right, which often is even sitting in the silence and allowing that recharge to happen in you. Prayer without positive expectancy may be unbelief in disguise. The desire you hold in mind, God often holds for you. Now, God is one with you. And that means that God already knows your prayer even before you pray. I want you to listen to the Bible. Matthew 6:8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Other versions of the Bible go into this a lot deeper. That God knows more than if you talked for eons of time or months about what you wanted. God knows more for you. God already knows every detail. God already knows what you need before you ask Him. And you then, if you're really thinking about your faith, you have to ask yourself. You say, self, looking into the mirror, why should I pray? Jesus says to pray continuously, but why should I pray? It says right here in the Bible, God already knows in much more detail than I could ever say, why should I waste my time? Why should I pray? Because, and I've got both hands up, you're not trying to convince God, you're trying to convince you. That's what continuous prayer does. And that changes it around completely and gives you a revolutionary thing. that you don't have a reluctant God. God wants to give you more than you can even accept. God wants to bless you. God wants to infill your life. But you've got to get to the point spiritually of getting it. Well, how long will that take? Will it take the rest of this lifetime? No, this afternoon is a good time. And you can have it fully. Interesting thing, the Bible says that the last shall be first. That means if you get it right now, you've got it fully. Just as much as the saints, the holy men or the holy women, you've got it. And the more you see the manifestations coming through you, the more you see the power of God, you'll never doubt. Not for one iota minute. On Thursday, I want you to spend the entire day expecting. And you tab every prayer. This is an old-time unity technique. A tab is a totally accepted belief. You make sure when you pray, have you tabbed it? A totally accepted belief. Most of the time, especially at the beginning, we'll have to say no. I haven't totally accepted that. That's going to take another 27 hours of convincing me. But big deal. I've spent that time, and in that particular thing that I was praying for, I never have to pray again. You change your soul permanently, and you will take your soul with you beyond this body. This is a permanent change beyond this lifetime. Prayer is not something we do to God, but for ourselves. Prayer doesn't change God. It changes us. Think about it. It would be disastrous if all of us could change God. God is changeless. Totally loving, totally accepting, totally giving. One of the highest forms of prayer can be understood from the word for which prayer came. It's a Sanskrit word, and it is patel. That's the original word for prayer, patel. Patel means judging oneself as wondrously made. That is an exact literal translation. If I am over here in the God box, that is what I'm doing. I am knowing that I am a co-creator with God, that I am wondrously made. I'm not in camp complaining. I'm not in Samesville. I am seeing the incredible, with gratitude, blessings of God continually. A positive prayer always is speaking what is spiritually true of you. You're not bringing up the negatives to God. You're not magnifying the negatives. You are magnifying your goodness. You put a time period on God too. It's a free will thing. If you expect your prayer to be deferred, it will be. Been in ministry over 30 years, and if someone can accept that, yeah, I can believe that I could have that, but looking at it from rational mind, I believe that I could have it maybe February 17, 2017, God nods and says, okay. In January of 2017, the earth and the moon will begin to move and everything will come into position, but why put it off? Maybe it's easier in our disbelief to put it off. But the real power of prayer is to believe as Jesus Christ told you to believe. When you pray, believe that it is already, right now, today, June 10th, 3:33 in the afternoon. So it's not put off till tomorrow. It's not put off until you think that you're a spiritual giant. It is right now. Don't do that to you. We're often complaining about others, what they did to us in the past and so on. We're our worst enemy by what we put off. I have a question for you. How safe would it be to walk through the streets of your own mind late at night? Pretty scary place. But not if it's lit with the light of the Christ. It's not. Thursday is a day also for totally accepting. It's an acceptance day. Remember, you have spent Tuesday thinking about what you want. Wednesday, putting on the feeling of it. And then Thursday, you accept. It's yours. There's no delay in acceptance. You're saying, yep, I'm ready. Many times, we come to a time where we need a total transformation spiritually. And that is found in the silence of prayer. The first step in the silence is relaxation. The second step is concentration. But concentration on not sitting there and dwelling over your problems, but trying to quiet your mind. Now, I asked Jim Freeman, James Dillett Freeman, one time, who was a good friend of mine, I said, have you, with all your years, ever been able to totally quiet your mind? Because we all have what the Chinese called the chattering monkey voices in there. And they're always talking from this side, telling us the worst possible scenario of everything. The average sane man and woman has seven voices at all times. Some people have the Mormon Tabernacle Choir in there, going off, telling them the worst, singing, this is going to be a disaster. You concentrate in the silence. And even when you think it's not working, it is. The voices will not always quiet, but you become more powerful than the voices. It is a time of meditation, a time of listening to God. Many times, if you heard my stories this morning, you will not see the clouds part or receive even an answer to your prayer during your prayer. It will come later when you're least thinking about it. And people have asked why this is. I believe, especially when we're immersed in our problem, our mind is tight. And we relax some in meditation, and then we're out later on, and we're just walking through the mall or relaxing, and our mind has become open. It has expanded, and it's receptive. And all of a sudden, like Orville Mitchell, we'll get an idea. We'll get an idea that will transform the rest of our life. I tell you, God can come through you, and it only takes a millisecond of time for a miracle that is lasting to come into your life. After meditation, there is a time in the silence of realization. That is a time of realizing that right now you have put on the Christ. And then there is a time of gratitude and thanksgiving, of absolutely accepting it. That's the way Jesus did it. He totally thought it. He felt it. He decreed it in word. And then he gave thanks to God for it happening. On Thursday, you live your entire day in positive expectation. I cannot tell you what this one day will do for you. We all dream of going on vacation, even if you go on the cruise with me. If you take your problems with you and unpack your problems, it won't do you much good. But you give yourself a day. This is the real Sabbath, folks, of living in total expectation for 24 hours, of seeing with a vision of where you want to go and what you want to be. Then you've got it. The Bible says, I will open the windows of heaven for you. Listen to the rest of this. Until you say it is enough. I will open the windows of heaven. And then we say, oh God, that's enough. I'm not ready for the rest. Just give me a little bit. I can take it, even close the window a bit, will you? Because I don't want that much of a blessing, or I can't believe, or I can't accept. Over the next month, even though I only have 7-day practice, I'm going to ask you not to ever close the window when it starts to open. People praying for a soulmate, they'll pray in the right way. And all of a sudden, these people start to come out of the woodwork, which is a bad scenario. You wouldn't want somebody to come out of the woodwork. But and then we get scared again. What do we do when we get scared? Close the window and then complain why we don't have a soulmate. Charles Fillmore said, prayer is lifting your self-identification to a higher awareness. In the Bible, there is a Bible quote that has disturbed so many Christians. Here it is. Be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. And people say, yeah, but I'm not perfect. Yes, you are, as you have the perfection of the Christ come through you. Be perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect. Have that perfection come through you. And people say, I'm not good enough. Yes, you can be. I have a glass here, and there I could quote Bible that's telling you this exact same thing, but it's paraphrased. Let's say that there's muck and mire in this glass. I pour purified water, the muck and mire comes out, and pretty soon it's purity. I have washed the glass from within. And you will be perfect like the Father in heaven is perfect. What is that perfection? Is it living life as a saint? People think it's going to be on the street corner like, you know, someone from Salvation Army. No. It's living as a happy person all the time. It's having full energy, full health. It's being successful. It's helping others. It is being radiant in who you are and what you exhibit to others. Charles Fillmore loved to tell this story, and I love it too. He tells a story about a company that put in the paycheck envelopes of the workers this little note. Along with the paycheck. It said, we have decided on a nice salary increase for you, which will become effective when you do. In other words, now I'm giving you solid Fillmore here. In other words, God can't lift you out of your gutter, for your in-the-gutter experience is your self-identification at this time. When you're praying from the problem box, what we're really praying for is a divine crane that will lift us from the neck. And even though we're fighting and having all sorts of problems and everything, and then pull us over to the area of our answer. Will you ever have that? Sometimes. It's called grace. Even when you don't deserve it, you'll get it. But you're in this life experience. And your purpose in this life experience is to learn to do it the right way yourself. That's why you're here. And I go on. In other words, God can't lift you out of the gutter, for your in the gutter experience is your self-definition at this time. But you can get out of the gutter when you begin to think out of the gutter thoughts. There is a better life for you, but it's not something that will be bestowed on you when you get in divine favor. It is yours to unfold when you're willing to start earning the right to have it. Sometimes we may delude ourselves that we can leave our confused mental state and enter the sanctuary of prayer and solicit divine aid. But you, listen to this. One of the doctrines of unity is self-responsibility. Listen to this. And this is why unity is probably the toughest walk. But it's the walk of Jesus. You can't run away from yourself. You can only be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, if you want to pray for peace, you must be willing to get into a peaceful consciousness. You'd be surprised how many people don't. If you pray for love, you'll be praying amiss if you do not become loving. Now here, I'm going to raise my hand. Prayer does not relieve you of responsibility. Individual responsibility. Don't pray for something you are not willing to become fully. You've got to possess it. You've got to own it. And you've got to keep it that way. Okay, let me kick it up a notch. Here are the five ways to communicate with God. God communicates with us through instinct, where we just know, through intuition, which is a little bit more, where we just have a sense of where to go. The way that I receive communication from God is the third way, through inspiration and imagination. I'll sit down to write a positive daily inspiration. I don't have a clue where I'm going, and all of a sudden it will flow. Number four, this is the way Charles Fillmore received his communication from God, dreams and visions. He used to go to sleep at night and dream something all the way through. And number five is revelation. Revelation is where you have an aha moment. And it can happen at any time. You're in an ordinary situation. You might be by your grill and see a flame that's not supposed to be there on your flameless grill. And all of a sudden, God gets your attention that way. It's like I sent him down to the potter's house, and there it was revealed to me. Often we will be sent in ways so that we can have our aha moments. God will find a crack in our consciousness and God will get through. How do you know if the answer is directly from God and not from you? Here's the test. Number one, it's pure. It's free from selfish motives. If I get an answer from prayer and it says, Chris, this is real good for you, but it's going to hurt her. But after all, what do you care? Hoo-hoo-hoo, that's not God. That is not God. Number two is peaceable. It promotes harmony, even with people that in human mind you don't like. Number three, it's gentle. It is considerate. It's courageous. And it gives you one step at a time. It's so gentle in its guidance. Number four, it's open to reason. It allows for discussion. It can be modified. It can be ultimately logical to you. Number five, it's full of mercy and compassionate. The answers to God never hold back. They never punish. Number six, they have good fruits. Serves the best interest of everyone. Number seven, they're without uncertainty. They're impartial, straightforward, free of doubt. Number eight, without insincerity. You'd be surprised how many people think that God is total honesty with them, that God's tricky. What is this based on? James 3:17. But the wisdom from above, again, slightly above your human thinking, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. Charles Fillmore says there are seven necessary conditions to true prayer. God should be recognized as parent. This is really important. You are God's child. You are not an orphan. You are not some strange formation that happened as a mistake. You were planned by God, and you are needed by God. Number two, there is a oneness with God. It should always be acknowledged. Number three, prayer must be made within, in the secret place. The Bible talks about this, you know, that you can go to the street corners and say your prayers, and it says they will have their reward. But the real prayer is made within you. It is in your thinking, in your feeling, in your total acceptance. It is the real prayer that brings through you the answers of God. It is where you are becoming the prayer. It is the only real, lasting prayer at the causation level. Most people pray prayers that are at the effect or the temporal level. But you are, as of today, praying a prayer at the core of your being, changing you at depth, changing your mind every time you pray, making you a new woman and a new man. You will never be the same, and every time you pray, you will add the accumulative power in and through you. When you find yourself looking at an appearance, and we will, where a big problem, a big mountain of a problem comes in your life, realize that everything comes to pass. That's biblical, and I'm going to give you an old-time unity saying right now. Know it away. Know it away. Sometimes you'll wake up in the middle of the night, like Orville Mitchell did, and your problem becomes so overwhelming to you that you cannot rein in or control human mind. This is where the 9-hour novena comes in. Now, you former Catholics, you're familiar with novenas. You might not ever realize that Unity also used to practice novenas for 9 hours. 9 hour is the number of completion. It has tremendous spiritual power in you. For 9 hours, even if you have to wake up at night to do this, preferably at the same time every hour, for 9 hours in a row, you say the following prayer or something similar that talks to you. I ask and I receive, seek and I will find, knock and it will be opened to me. Dear God, I ask, I seek, I knock, and I know that you are at work right now to bring about And then whatever it is that you want to bring about, see, the mind has to know that you're taking action. Otherwise, it will continue with its own tirade. And it will give you a profound peace. And after 9 hours, you have a sense in deep consciousness that this has been handled. And you will be quite surprised at how well it's been handled. I have had to use this prayer before when not me, but my children were going crazy. And, and that is something so close to you, you tend to go into worry. And so I used this novena, and it gave me a profound peace. And it also created an atmosphere for a miracle. On Saturday, you spend your entire day praying for others. You have prayed for yourself first, now you give it away. Now, when I say this, you don't stop on an elevator and turn around, stare at everybody and say, "I'm glad you joined me here. Let me have a moment of prayer with you." You will find them pressing the open button and running for the hills. You do it silently. You allow the blessings to come through you. You pass people on the street that are standing at the bus stops. You pass people that are in the mall and you send them silent blessings and prayers. Remember, it has to come through you first. You will be so euphoric and so filled with energy. You can't give it away. It comes back in a perfect circulation, and it blesses you at depth. Whenever you go to the hospital, you do the same. All of you will have a time where you visit people in the hospital. As I said today to the people that are serving this ministry, you are the carrier of the cure. You never go in there, never, or don't go if you can't do this. And think, "Oh my, are you sick? Oh boy, it's only going to get worse." Now, you don't say this, of course, but you're thinking it and you're exuding it. It's like Emerson said, "What you are speaks so loud I can't even hear your words." Consciousness comes forth from you. You go in there, even if the appearances are not great. And you see from the end, and you carry that energy with you, and you allow that to emanate from you, and they will feel it. They're starved for it. They will gravitate towards it, feed off of it. There have been times where I've held that in consciousness, and I've been tired in the middle of the night. My words weren't coming out right. They were all slurred and everything else. And yet, it was one of the most powerful prayers I've ever done. Because I just knew. I knew that that person was going to be healed. And when you go in, well, Charles Fillmore got to the point that he didn't even speak when he prayed with someone. He would just sit down by the hospital bed and know it away. And he would give that consciousness out. And when you're dealing with your own sickness, know this, that God does not give us disease. God equips us because we are carriers of the cure. And the more that we can accept it, the more that we will have it manifest in and through our lives. I said several times today that I prayed that you'll never be able to get this prayer off of you. Let me tell you about where I first got that concept. I did the Sunday service at Unity Village. First time worn brand new three-piece suit, which was in style then. And my son, who was, six at the time, he said, "Daddy, let's go play paintball." Well, Daddy had no idea what paintball was, and in his extreme wisdom, I went with him to play paintball. I just thought it was a laser thing or something. Well, immediately, and you would think that the teenage girl that sold me the ticket would have said, "Hey, mister, this is not the place for you." But no, she sold me the ticket. I went in, and immediately I was hit with Lucite yellow paint, which still to this day never came out of that suit, I'm sure, wherever that suit is. And then it was one of the most powerful days. I thought, my golly, I want my prayers to be like that. And I prayed that they would be. I prayed that when I pray, I want to pretend like I'm a big spiritual paintball gun and that I put this blessing on them. And even if they want to fight it off and not believe that they can have it, they can't get it off of them. That they'll have it and they'll wear it and they'll manifest it and become it. And that is really the end of every prayer. It is amen. People say it all the time. They don't know what that means. We say amen at the end of our prayer. That, in original first century Christianity, was like the king putting a wax seal on the envelope. It could not be reopened. That's the way it's described. Amen means absolutely, I decree that this is so. What I am saying is right now, not later, not 2017, right now, a fact in my life. Don't say amen in a casual way. Don't be like the farmer that digs up the seed every day and looks at it and says, this isn't working. You say, amen. And get into that power of what that means in your life. That you are absolutely putting this down. It is, in Hebrew and Greek, it means verily, verily, it is true now. It is not something to be put off. One of the best things ever written about unity was written in a derogatory way. Someone was criticizing unity and they said, unity is a take-home religion. I always liked that. And I pray that it's that way for you too today. I pray that you take it home, that you use it, that you make it yours. Everything that I've talked about is not a long, drawn-out process. It's a right-now process. It will happen. I ask you to practice it this week. The last day, next Sunday, you're going to spend the entire day in thanksgiving. Nothing exalts a human being like thanksgiving. Most people, they spend their whole life griping about their problems, calling focus to what is wrong, living in a consciousness of the problem box, constantly calling it to their attention. That is living in hell. I like every one of you. And I want you to live in heaven. I want you to be happier in 7 days than you've been in 7 years. I want you to feel something new inside of you. I want you to have a new soul, a new mind, a new transfusion of spiritual power. You've already got the best minister in the country. And because you're here, you're already the best person. And you've already got the best willing God, a God that's been patiently waiting for a long time to come through you, as you. I believe in you. Go out there and knock them alive, friends. God bless you.
Chris, you have blessed us. May we bless you?
Yes, please. Let me sit down and totally get it.
Oh, do.
I'm in the God box.
Ah, you are in the God box. I'm going to state it first and invite you then to repeat it after me. And we feel this deeply, all of us, Chris. Chris, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the Christ in you. Together. Chris, we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the Christ in you. And so it is.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear friend. Thank you.
I accept it.